Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to call to order our Minnesota House K-12 Policy Committee of the 88th Legislative Session in Minnesota. And I welcome all of you. We've got quite a few new faces around the table. I find that exciting and good. I'm looking forward to all of us spending the next committee time, or this committee time, introducing ourselves to one another and sharing some information with one another about what our goals and priorities and expectations are for our work in this committee, in education in general, and in the state legislature, hopefully in general as well. Let me, it's always awkward in terms of how do you actually start something. If you look at the agenda, it's a pretty simple agenda. As I indicated, our purpose today is to introduce ourselves to one another. I also want to be able to, I also want to go through the committee procedures. You'll find a handout in your folder that explains the procedures. We'll have the good opportunity to have a discussion about those at this point. And then I also want to share toward the end of our meeting with you a little bit about how I see things unfolding during the course of this committee on the calendar, in particular what I've got in mind for the next couple of weeks. So with that, let me begin by, in fact, having us look at the committee procedures. If members can pull those out. These tend to be pretty standard around this place, so you've probably seen these procedures or similar procedures prior. But this is a good opportunity for us to make sure we're real clear and on the same page in terms of how I hope to conduct business in this committee. Obviously, the first is to begin our committee meetings on time. I've been notorious in the past for not doing that, so I'm trying to turn a new leaf, and I'm sure Representative Nordis is going to find a way to hold me to it, knowing my history, since you and I have served together for quite a while. But members, it would be great for us, in fact, to begin our meetings promptly as we get into the session. We're going to be awfully pressed to move through a lot of material, to hear from a lot of folks. And this is a committee, because it's a policy committee, this is a committee whose deadlines are the earliest in this legislative session. So we're going to be under the gun in the next couple of weeks to really cram in a lot of work, a lot of testimony in committee. And it would greatly help if members here are prompt, so that we can begin our work right away each time we meet. Of course, we're scheduled to meet 10 to 11:30 Tuesdays and Thursdays. For newer members, what that means is that, as we get later into the schedule, we may very well be extending meetings into the evenings if we can't get our work done from the 10 to 11:30 slot. It will not be unusual for us to have meetings, to recess and then have meetings at the call of the chair, typically toward the end of the day. We'll try to minimize doing that. We'll try to manage the committee in such a way so that we're not doing that, but it's just sort of the nature of the beast in this place. In addition, in the past, we've added a committee date, a committee day, in order to meet our policy. It has to be Representative Dabney. In order to meet our welcome, Representative Dabney. In order to meet our policy deadline, and typically what I've done in the past is add a Friday morning meeting. Again, we'll try not to do that. That's particularly tough for many of our members who travel a long distance and need to get back home. But again, as we near our deadlines, quite frankly, you'll find yourselves here, 7 days a week anyway. And again, I'll try to be very mindful of your schedules, but we very well might be adding meetings Friday mornings for a short period of time as we near our policy deadlines. If If you're unable to attend a committee meeting, you will be noted as excused. If you excused in our formal records, we do keep formal records in the legislature. If you notify the committee legislative administrator in advance, otherwise you will be marked absent. But certainly come and talk to me at any time if, for whatever reason, it happened to slip your mind. Or your car just simply died and you couldn't get to a phone, et cetera. Appropriate decorum is expected in our committee. Basically, what that excuse me means is that all discussions, and this is true of all committees in the legislature, all discussions funnel through the chair. And so the point is that we don't have more than one member throwing questions out at the public or at each other. Appropriate decorum also, frankly, means that we carry ourselves in such a way where we have high respect for the public's engagement here. Some committees have been very specific about that in terms of, you know, not paying attention to laptops and cell phones, etc. One of the advantages or disadvantages of this room is that probably most of your cell phones won't work in this room anyway. But nonetheless, if you could, I'm not going to have a rule that says you can't bring your iPads or cell phones here. I understand most of us are often multitasking. It is important, though, particularly as we engage with public citizens who offer testimony, that we direct our attention to them. It's also appropriate that whatever issues that we might get hot and bothered under the collar with, that we don't direct that at the public. We can reserve that for engagements with one another. Frankly, K-12 education is one of those areas where both parties find a heck of a lot in common, and are.
Lobbyists.
I'll have a bag of darts that we'll I'll distribute and. We'll see who's a good marksman. Your folder will have a save folder in it. Any items that you want to keep, please place in that save folder. Otherwise, we'll get rid of whatever else is hanging around. Presenters or members of the public are encouraged to provide all handout materials to be offered in committee. So as you're bringing in folks, many of you will bring constituents, advocate groups, please convey to them that it's their responsibility to produce any handouts that they wish to have distributed to the committee. Bill hearings will be the responsibility of the bill author to submit a written request. We will try to be very diligent about scheduling bills, but quite frankly, it's really a responsibility of individual bill authors to put a formal request. I don't want to assume that you, just because you've introduced the bill, you necessarily want to have it heard. So I need to hear from you directly. And members, on this issue, it's not unusual in this body for members to kind of drag their feet in terms of introducing bills. Given the fact that our policy deadlines are the earliest ones, it's critically important that you get your bills in as quickly as possible. It makes it possible for us then to manage the bill flow accordingly. If bills are not introduced until later, there will be no guarantees that we'll have hearings on your bills unless they are introduced early. If you're running into trouble with introducing a bill, fashioning it, please let me know. I'll be very flexible in working with you to make sure that we schedule the work that you want to see vetted here. But in the past, quite frankly, we've had this committee has had a lot of bills referred to it, and what it means is that it's not always possible for us to hear every bill. So the earlier you get it in, the better chance of it being heard. We will have a 24-hour advance amendment ruled in committee. I am more than willing to be very flexible about that, particularly as we get closer to policy deadlines when bills are moving pretty rapidly. But for the sake of managing the flow of the committee, making sure that our staff are not here 24 hours a day, it'd be great if you can get those any amendments into to staff 24 hours in advance. We will accept oral amendments in committee at the discretion of the chair. Sometimes in the heat of discussions, we actually jointly come up with kind of a better way to word things and to do things. And that often will require an amendment on the spot. We will work collaboratively in terms of shaping those. And then finally, this is an issue for afterwards, after the session is over. Requests for interim per diem and expense reimbursements can be authorized, but contingent on you all connecting with the chair and my okaying that expense. So with that, are there any questions that members have or observations about the rules or procedures? Did I do a good job? Did I leave anything out here? Okay. Representative Faust?
I agree.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, members. So with that, I want to get into the bulk of our conversation today, which is basically getting to know one another in terms of our interest in K-12 education and what our goals and objectives might be. And so we'll do a pretty simple process, just going around the room, introducing ourselves. As you do that, please tell us, obviously, your district, but also tell us your school district, what schools you represent, and maybe share a little bit about what you think is most unique about your school district, what's perhaps most challenging, and also what's most exciting about what's happening in your schools. And then if you could also share a little bit about what you hope will be your expectations for this committee. And when we're done with that, then I'll come back and share with you my goals as your chairman for this committee. And then again, we'll close out with just some quick sharing of upcoming calendar items with the committee. So with that, I'm going to start with my vice chair, Representative Kathy Reiner, and then I'm going to move over to our lead Republican on the committee who chaired this committee for the last 2 years, and it was my privilege to serve with her on the committee for the last 2 years. And then we'll just continue off to the left, because I tend to lean to the left anyway, so we'll do that. But we'll start off to the right. So, Representative Brian.
Well, thank you, Chair Mariani. First of all, I'm going to say that I'm truly honored to have the privilege of being the vice chair both to this committee and to Chair Mariani. Simply, I have worked with him the 6 years I've been in the legislature and really appreciated, I think, what you will come to understand is his openness to truly addressing the issues of our students across the state and to improving outcomes for all of our students. Regardless of geographic area or party persuasion or any other divides that occur among us, I think you will see that the leadership of this chair works to transcend those differences, and I hope we can all follow that lead in the discussions that we have ahead of us, since I know some of them will be difficult. So I represent the Mankato area. And I would say in the last 6 years in the legislature, I've spent a lot of time bragging about my school district. Before I was a legislator, I was a school board member for almost 12 years. I think our area, the Mankato area, has been very innovative in a wide range of areas. But of course, you know, the innovation is in the context of all the common issues we're dealing with across the state. That is, we have a changing demographic in our district. It's changed dramatically over the years. We had a large Hmong population when I first came on the school board. That population has shifted. A lot of those citizens moved to California, finding the Minnesota weather less compatible with their current lifestyle experiences and so forth. Yeah, imagine that. And now we have quite a large Somali and Sudanese community for our area, you know, for outstate Minnesota. And we've learned a lot about having conversations across cultures, especially including parents in those conversations. And so I think that, you know, I think those are conversations that maybe we'll have also. But when I think about my interests in education, really, I've been involved in education so long that sometimes it's hard for me to narrow those down, in the sense that as a parent, I've been involved. That's how I got involved in the whole public process and public office, et cetera, is as a parent. And my interests really are improving outcomes for each and every one of our students. So there's a wide range of policy issues that I'm sure we'll see on the table in this committee, and that will extend to the K-12 Finance Committee. You know, in the finance, we talk about adequacy and equity as dollar issues, but there are policy issues that underline those discussions that I think, you know, we'll be engaging here. You know, for special education, integration, revenue, those are areas that definitely involve policy positions that ought to underpin and inform our finance. So I look forward to working with each of you, and I'm just excited about the opportunity.
Thank you, Representative Reinhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and of course it's an honor to serve under you. We've been together a few years, and I appreciate continuing to work with you and to have Representative Reinhardt, for whom I have great respect. So I anticipate this will be a very good 2 years. I represent 15A, which is in East Central Minnesota. My school districts would include, starting on the south, Elk River, Zimmerman. It's the Elk River District, but Zimmerman, some Princeton students in my district, or Princeton area students, do attend to Zimmerman. Then moving toward Mille Lacs, and the Mille Lacs District and the Princeton District bleed over into Foley, Mille Lacs into Pierce, and then I have Onamia and Isle around Lake Mille Lacs, and then going to the east, Ogilvy and Mora. So it's an interesting mix of districts, and I look forward to continuing to serve my present districts and my new districts.
Thank you. And by the way, members, I will try to instantly recall your names, but you'll probably learn pretty quickly I'm in the wrong line of business, because you know, names and instant recall is just not something that I'm really good at. So I apologize ahead of time if I mess up your name. I'm sure I'm going to do that. But Isaac, Representative Isaacs.
Well, in my classroom, that's the exact same speech I give to my students, as it takes me a long time to remember. My name is Jason Isaacson. I'm an educator at Century College. I'm really pleased to be on this committee. My interests, my school districts are a portion of White Bear, a portion of Roseville, but the bulk of my district is served by the Moundsview School District, which I will never stop bragging about either. They have a wonderful, wonderful school and some of the top-rated schools in our state. My concern comes from a history of teaching a wide demographic of students at the university and graduate level. I have taught at Johns Hopkins University in George Washington, and I've taught at Minneapolis Community and Technical College. And I can tell you that the breadth of students there is quite stunning, and there's some inescapable conclusions I come to regarding what is needed to make a student prepare, and what I'm seeing students who are arriving at some of the better schools have versus some of the community colleges. It really stems down to what they're getting out of their K-12 or pre-K education, and that is where my concern is in making sure that we're prepared. I've had students that have recently never used Microsoft Word coming into a college class, and I'm really not sure how that's possible. But I spent a lot of time doing remedial work and getting them ready, and they spent a lot of money at my school taking remedial classes to be ready and prepared just for college life, and I think I'm very committed to seeing what we can do to address some of those issues and really put a good focus on preparing our students so when they leave high school they're either ready to find employment or go on to higher education and be successful. And I think that needs to be across the board for equal access for all students, not just ones that can afford it. So that's my 2 cents. Thank you very much. I'm really grateful to be here.
Welcome. Representative Yanus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Barb Yaruso. I represent District 42A, next to Jason here. My communities include all of Arden Hills, all of Moundsview, the rest of Shoreview, and a small piece of Spring Lake Park. The school districts then are mostly the Moundsview School District, one neighborhood in the Roseville School District, and a very small piece of a neighborhood in the Spring Lake Park District. My own background also involves education. I'm a chemical engineer, and I've got a 9 through 12 science teaching license, so I've taught high school science and chemistry and physics. I've taught university engineering courses, taught working adults, and I also tutor. So I've got kind of a broad focus in my education background. I'm very concerned with anything we could do to help reduce the achievement gap, and really want to try to discover what works for that. We've discovered a lot of things that apparently don't work, so that's still an open problem. Representative Davney and I got a chance to go over and tour the STEAM program in one of the Moundsview schools, which is a science, technology, engineering, arts, and math program. And they're doing some pretty exciting things there. And that's one of the things that I hope to bring to this group is my engineering and science background, since the STEM focus has been such an ongoing focus. I actually know how that works as an engineer. And I really would like to see kind of a longitudinal focus on students. This affects, you know, how we assess students, how we provide services for students, how we help students prepare for work, for life, for college, or whatever they're moving on to. And looking forward to learning a lot on this committee.
Representative Kresha.
Kresha. And thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for addressing the name issue. And if you don't get mine correct, that's okay, because as a former educator, businessman, and Republican, I'm used to lots of names. So if you just look in my general direction, I'm good. I represent the area of 9B, which is Morrison and Todd County, and like Representative Erickson, I have a number of school districts. I have seven, Piers, Royalton, Long Prairie, Little Falls, Upsala, Swanville, and parts of Pillager. And the interesting thing for me as a rural legislator is, while I have seven districts and not just one, they're all very diverse. So on one side, we're dealing with issues that are much different than the other side of the district, so it becomes very interesting. Mm-hmm. That leads into my background as an educator. I started out in English, language arts, and then ended up in technology and curriculum, and taught in the schools for 10 years and then launched an online education company for the very reasons that Representative Isaacson mentioned, that kids weren't prepared with technology. So my company was about bringing tailored curriculum into the classrooms and right to the students to take home. So that, at the core of who I am, is believing that we can find solutions for kids, and sometimes we have to think out of the box and be creative and innovative and use the technology, because these kids are learning at such a speed and so many different methods that I think we just have to really be creative. So that's who I am. So thank you. I'm honored to be on this. I requested, and I'm looking forward to the committee.
Wonderful. Looking forward to working with you. You know, one of the emerging pedagogy, but also pedagogy approaches is encompassed under what's being called blended learning, which I think, given your background in online educational services, might be of interest. I'd like us to be able to vet through what blended learning suggests for us in terms of constantly evolving our K-12 system. So look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm a retired elementary school teacher. I taught 34 years in Baudette up in Lake of the Woods County of 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade. That's my background. It's been my passion for my entire life. The school districts that I have that are inclusive, I think they're totally in my district, are Lake of the Woods, Red Lake, Clearbrook, Gonvick, and LaPorte. Three other school districts are located in my district but are bus kids from other parts, are Bagley, Kellyer, Northholme, and Black Duck. And three schools that are adjacent or around my district that bus students from my district are Bemidji, Walker, Hackensack, Akeley, and Park Rapids. In my district, education is very, very important. Small towns with their schools are the focus of that community, and they take their education up there very, very seriously. Thank you.
Sir Erickson, I remember some years ago traveling up to your neck of the woods and discovering just how much students are moving across those districts. A lot of open enrollment activity that poses both some opportunities but also apparently some challenges to particularly some of your smaller school districts.
Yeah, in my district, Lake of the Woods, we don't have as much of an issue because we're 40 miles away from anybody else. So I coached football up there for 27 years, and our closest away football game was 75 miles away. That's our closest away game. So people mark Baudette, Lake of the Woods, on their schedule like, oh my gosh, we have to go to Baudette. And that was the trip that they did not look forward to ever. So thank you.
I would imagine if you're traveling that distance, you better win.
Sometimes with not a great football team, it's better to be on the road.
Story. Representative Wills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm honored to be on this committee. I'm in my first term, and I'm representing District 57B, which is the northern part of Apple Valley, Rosemont, and Coates. And I'm married. My husband and I don't have kids yet, but we're looking forward to starting a family in the right time. And just a couple aspects about the district. I have all of one school district. Well, I only have one school district in our house district, and it's District 196. So I'm a little spoiled in that regard. But it's an excellent school district, and I've had the chance to meet with the superintendent and learn a little bit more. It's the fourth largest district in the state. Looking forward to continuing to work with them and being their voice here. And also had the opportunity to meet with Education Minnesota last night for a legislative dinner and talk to some of the local teachers and hear their concerns. So just a little bit of my experience. I was homeschooled, so I bring a different perspective to the policy discussion. And so school choice is important to me, and then also making sure that our public schools are the best that they can be, because that's where most of our students are. So it's very important. And then my family owned a small business when I was growing up that I helped out with selling educational software to homeschool families right when software was coming out as a new idea to use for education. So I'm looking forward to using technology and encouraging that. And then also preparing our future workforce. Jason, you mentioned that, and I think that's absolutely critical. The superintendent in our district, Jane Behrens, has been focusing on that and trying to find ways to engage the high school students in the local business community. So I'd like to encourage more of that sort of thing, and just learning from each other and across districts I think is going to be really important in collaborating and learning what the best ideas are. So I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and to serve with all of you, and appreciate the chance to represent my district.
Well, welcome. I wasn't aware that Apple Valley is the fourth largest school district, or thereabouts.
Mm-hmm. It includes Eagan, by the way. Okay. It's more than just my district.
Right. Well, welcome. Looking forward to working with you. Representatives, let's see if I can get this right. I'm a Chicago boy. I'm supposed to be able to say these names. Sawatsky.
Very good, yes. But an easier way, if you just swat a fly, ski down a hill, you can skip the first A. But if when you're in the phone book, if I don't say Sawatsky, you may miss the S-A-W-A-T. So, but otherwise, Sawatsky is just fine. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am Mary Sawatsky. I am from live in Wilmer. I represent 17B, District 17B. That includes ACGC, which is Atwater Grove City. I have the Atwater School town. I have Newland and Spicer, where I used to teach with Representative Erdahl for my first 1.5 years, and then the Wilmer School District, and then we, because of the consolidation of schools, some of Pennock or Sunberg may join in some of our school districts. I am a special education teacher. I've just starting in February, I'll be starting my 28th year teaching special education, primarily 7 through 12th. Right now, I am in the Wilmer Middle School with 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students teaching learning disabilities. And so I was just sharing with some of my colleagues that writing IEPs was a great training ground for nice long days at the legislature, because long days and long weekends is probably what my primary considerations of it with education. And special ed is all-consuming, and we know that we are taking monies from the general fund as well to help support special education. In our districts, primarily in Wilmer, we have a huge contingency of many cultures, and I think that our elementary schools are one is a focus school, and we have a priority school. Interestingly enough, our two elementary schools in Wilmer are two of the largest ones in the state of Minnesota. I think we're the top three, 950-980 students, which when it comes to testing, I know Representative Erickson and I were talking about testing, and when we are in the middle of testing, we have like about a 6 or 8 week block, because you have to get that many kids through the testing process if we're doing it all online, which is awesome. I love the immediate response feedback, but even with, in my particular building, we have 4 or 5 computer labs, but with it's still a huge process and takes a lot of time out of everyday learning to get that. A lot of time and management goes into testing, so I think I bring a lot of a different focus to education. I am certified elementary ed as well. My husband is a retired elementary teacher. We had 2 children that have gone through the school system, and Wilmer is a regional center, so a lot of our schools, Newland and Spicer, ACGC, other area schools will bring students, especially special education students, to Wilmer, so we can help with, because we have a bigger population that we can deal with. But also we send out a lot of students for our level 4 or EBD program that we do not have, we have concerns for them, but also we send them out. A lot of money goes someplace else, and so as a regional center, that's something to be considered. We have just had a huge iPad initiative with the business community, and trying to get an iPad into the hands of every junior, senior, but goes down to 9 through 12, and then of course we want to do the span of K-12 early childhood. I've seen awesome, excellent things working indirectly or directly with the iPad programs, and things that teachers are just phenomenal in getting that information out, and with our professional learning communities. And so and it's one of those things where that school bullying between school districts, of course, if one school has all day every day kindergarten, the next town over kind has to provide that as well, because you have a lot of students that will go to the next district. So I'm very concerned about those issues, and looking forward to being on this committee. And I wanted to say I student taught in Malacca, and way back and about a million years ago, so know a little bit about Malacca.
Wonderful. Welcome to the committee. I used to spend quite a bit of time in Wilmer many years ago. In my prior life, just visiting. I used to work for the Minnesota Council of Churches.
Oh.
We had a very active participation on a part of many of your faith communities and work that we were involved in. And I note that, I think it was in December, there was a major feature on public radio on your school district's brave efforts to create newer responses to English language learner students, which apparently is a big presence. And
yep, we have a large Somali community and Latino community.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to working with you.
Great, thanks.
And Representative Anderson, I got that right?
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, Mark Anderson. I represent 9A, which encompasses Cass County, Wadena County, and Todd County, and some of the school districts that are up there. Well, I live up on Gull Lake, so that kind of overlaps into the Brainerd School District, which really isn't in my district, but we've got a lot of students from there, and goes over to Wadena. And, of course, Wadena just got that new high school up there because of the tornado relief money. It also goes from up in the northeast from Pine River, and down to the Osakis school districts. And there's a lot of smaller school districts in between. My background is I'm a businessman, and I've been in aviation for most of my adult life. What's not listed in my bio is that I officially am a teacher. I am certified by the FAA as a flight instructor. Although I teach anything from single-engine Cessnas all the way up to the 747-400, if anybody would like some instruction in anything in between there, just let me know. Been doing that most of my life. But for what I can bring to this, to the panel, is just my business and the rest of my background. But what I will be looking for you, and it's my analogy, is that I am your student pilot, especially coming from the chairman, to learn about the education process from the public system. And so I'm your student pilot, you be my instructor, and let's make it work.
Wonderful.
Ooh.
Representative Erickson, Sandra Erickson, will have to develop a task for Representative Anderson at the end of the we can mentor him. You know, we just had a House member who became a senator, Representative Eakin, who is a very avid pilot. I don't know if you're familiar with former Representative Eakin or not.
No.
But I'll have to tell you some stories of him, stories he shared with me about flying his family over the Caribbean in little planes. Mm-hmm. And pretty audacious kind of. You pilots are kind of audacious people. So
just a little bit.
Yeah.
You'll find that out.
Looking forward to that. Representative Marquardt. Representative Marquardt is the chair of our K-12 Finance Committee. I'm real pleased that you're on this committee and that I get to serve on your committee. And I'm looking forward to both of those committees working awfully closely together. It's a real privilege to serve with you in education.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm State Representative Paul Marquardt, and it is an honor to serve on this committee, but to serve under your chairmanship, and as Representative Brinert mentioned, members, you will not find a chair that is more fair and more open and willing to listen to new ideas, and I've watched you work over the years, and I've been very impressed with that approach, so it's going to bode very well for this committee, so thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
A little bit of background about myself. This is my 29th year of teaching at Dilworth Glendon Felton. I teach social studies. And I represent about, 10 to 12, excuse me, 10 to 12 districts, depending on, we have little parts of a couple that are just little corners that reach in there. But like many of the rural members, the enrollment goes from a couple hundred to about 5,000. So you do have quite a diversity. And I've always thought of school districts as serving the three E's. Education, of course, but also the economy, because in many of the smaller cities, your school districts are your largest employer and drive the economy in many cases. And the third E is enthusiasm and energy. I mean, where else in your community are you going to get a few hundred people go into a gym or a stadium and scream their hearts out? So they, at least when I was the mayor of Dilworth, no, I never had that at a council meeting that people would do that. So it is the one place in a community where folks come together. So in looking at that, kind of the achievement gap has been mentioned, but also, and I think it was mentioned in education finance today, even more local control for districts and for teachers. We know the biggest impact on a student's achievement is what happens in the classroom. And so how can we empower teachers, give them all the necessary tools, and even more flexibility in exchange for results and outcomes? I think that's an approach we need to move to in the state. But again, it's an honor to serve and looking forward to moving forward in education, Mr. Chair.
We'll do good work together, Mr. Chair. Representative Erdahl is going to give us a assessment of Representative Sawatsky's former teaching performance in your school district.
She's already ready to reply. Well, she did a fine job modifying my tests when I...
That's all I wanted.
But, I'm Representative Dean Erdahl. I taught at New London Spicer for 35 years, 34 of those years to seventh graders, which I felt very well prepared me for working with the legislature. For four of those years, I was doing double duty, as I think Representative Marquardt still does, going, part of the year teaching, part of the year in the legislature. But in 2006, I retired from teaching and devoted full-time here. The only sideline I have now is I do a little bit of writing every now and then. I represent Meeker County, three townships in McLeod County, one township, Cocato, in Wright County, the school districts, Litchfield. I share with Representative Swatsky Atwater Cosmos Grove City. I share with Representative Howe, Eden Valley Watkins. We share the town of Eden Valley. And Hutchinson and Dassel Cocato are my school districts. I will say that I almost made it to Baudette once. I was thinking of going. I went to college at St. Cloud State, and the young lady that I happened to know that lived in Baudette, and she broke up with me, and I didn't go. But
opportunity lost.
Yeah, I never made it to Baudette. I was on education committees my first 4 years, and then took a 6-year hiatus from education committees. But I'm glad to be back. Have a wide range of interests in education, and I'm not going to belabor any of you with details today. But you'll be hearing from me on these things over the next couple of years. Vocational school education. I have some ideas for master's degree programs, some changes maybe that we need in coaching legislation, looking at other countries and other models of education. I've been to Finland. I've gone to schools there. And you'll be hearing all of this stuff, so it's a little prelude for you. But good to be here. Good to be working with you again, Chair Mariani.
Mutual feeling, Representative Erdahl. Representative Bly, from one of my favorite parts of the state, Northfield.
Yes. I'm Representative David Bly. I represent 20B, which is Northfield, Northern Rice County, and Eastern Stewart County. And the districts in my house district are Northfield Public Schools, Tri-City Schools, which is Montgomery, Lonsdale, and the center, a newly formed district, small portion of Duke Craig School District, and a small portion of Carroll School District.
Okay.
I'm a retired 30-year veteran teacher with a lot of varied experience. I started my teaching in Milan, Minnesota as a high school English teacher, and was very interested in the students who really struggled in my classroom, and spent a lot of time visiting with their parents and tutoring them after school. But I went from there working in psychiatric hospitals as a teacher working with students who were struggling with mental illness. That prompted me to get a certificate in multi-disturbed education, and I worked or managed a program for elementary school age children who were multi-disturbed in the Faribault School District. It was perhaps the most challenging, including my work here, perhaps the most challenging job I ever had. dealing with families, dealing with students, and also dealing with other teachers who struggled with these students in their classrooms. I went from there to working in alternative education in an alternative program in Northfield, Minnesota, eventually becoming the lead teacher of that program. And throughout my history as an educator, I worked with students who either were, for various reasons, kind of rejected by the system or pushed aside by the system or left by the wayside. So I've worked with students who have really struggled and kind of been abandoned by our system. That's a huge challenge, but it was very instructive for me to learn how do you get students who are turned off to learning back into learning again. I do have a master's degree in education and a lot of interest in school reform and how do we make our schools better. I've become aware in my experience of a lot of tensions that exist between how do we make things better for every student and how do we secure and stabilize an institution of education. I appreciate Representative Markworth's mention of that tension between making sure that teachers have autonomy and also having accountability. I think we've been heavier on the accountability side and have really hurt not only what teachers can do, but the reputation of teachers. We hear a lot of bad news about teachers out there. And it was striking to me as I door knock, talking to parents about how they can understand what's wrong with our teachers and our teaching system, but their teacher for their youngster is the best teacher that they've ever encountered. So there's a lot of inconsistencies and things that need to be addressed. But those tensions that exist in this particular field, we need to be wary of and also figure out how to ameliorate.
Thank you, Representative Lai. We had the privilege of working together. You were in my committee a few years ago, and you introduced some pretty powerful legislation. We were able to act on some of that, and hopefully we'll see some of those again. And I really appreciate your framing of the and naming, as well as Representative Markworth, the very real tensions that do exist in doing good policy on behalf of the people. And I think that as we get deeper into these discussions, my hope is that we don't wind up or end up dichotomizing ourselves, but rather finding, you know, the powerful synergy between those pieces that are in tension with one another, because I think that's where best public policy evolves from. So looking forward to working with you. Representative Keel, good to be on a committee with you again.
Yes, thank you. I'm looking forward to doing this. I represent District 1B. I live south of Crimson and I farm. My education background is I helped start a private school in our church a long time ago. My grandchildren are now 10 days, except one is almost fluent. And then I also became part of the Crimson School Board and served there for 7 years before becoming a legislator. I have, I guess I would count them as 12 schools in my district. My largest are East Grand Forks and Crimson. I have smaller ones like Fisher and Boston and Lily Falls. Hover and Oakley are together in RLCC. And I also share students that attend Freeburg Gonvick with Captain American and Deeper Falls. I have a whole county that Deeper Falls is in, but it's not that school district, so I share that with Representative Cajun. You know, we have a lot of different issues. I have a school district, Fisher, that is small, is a K-12, Pfizer, D3K, 12, that is working toward doing online instruction, the instructional books. So they are working toward that. I'm pretty excited about that. And just some real diversity there. And while we work in online education, there's some pretty nice successes in the rural area also. In fact, I would say of my school districts, maybe my larger schools lack more technology than my small schools. It helps them to expand and they can use it. So I guess I'm looking forward to working with you and Representative Brown. We're on the school board together. That's how we actually met, was at school MSBA meetings. So, and my daughter taught in representing friends and school districts. So,
forward to working with you as well. And back in the days when I was traveling out to Wilbur, I was also driving up to East Grand Forks and Crookston. Those particular communities have a long history of multicultural diversity related to the agricultural, mostly beet industry there.
Which is really not existing anymore because we've
very few
plants. Sometimes there's some kind of labor, but very little anymore.
Amazing. Yeah, your communities were sort of the farthest point north of what was then a massive, it's still there, but a massive, mostly Latino migrant flow that followed the seasons through our nation, stopping at different points to be part of the harvest, harvest in those communities. And boy, that goes back, got to be a century, I think, of flowing between the southern part of Texas and the northern part of Minnesota.
I grew up in a family that was a family of 12, ostracized by their nationalities also. He was African-American and she was Hispanic. And but they would come up for years and years and also do cherries over by Wisconsin, Michigan, somewhere in that direction.
Makes sense.
But in effect, those children all grew up with, you know, we played ball at night. Dad always worked in the field at night, but the kids never did. And the younger kids didn't. So we, you know, if we had time after work on the farm, we'd play ball. The older girls babysat. So we had a real interconnection. And I always look forward to the mother would always after feeding, 12 children would come with a, I don't know how big that pan was, full of tacos and another one full of enchiladas. My mother loved it because my dad didn't like Spanish spicy food. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, it was always really good and really enjoyed the interaction. And I guess that was part of my culture, you know, growing up and never really thought about it as being different in a fairly white background.
I may need to recruit all of your help to overturn house rules so we can have, like, nice meals here and there. In the committee room. It does bring people together.
Yes.
Representative Nordis, I've had the privilege of serving with you for many years, including serving on your committee when you chaired the Higher Education Committee, and have always enjoyed working with you.
Well, I'm glad to be back on this committee. I've served on all the education committees in the years I've been here, early childhood, K-12, K-12 finance, and higher education. So I've kind of... haven't missed anything, and I really enjoyed all of that. And I was also interested in your trips to Crookston because you probably went through Beltrami on your way up there. That's where I grew up. We had a small school that had 8 grades, and it was quite an interesting place to grow up. And I cherished the opportunity to grow up in a very, very, very small town. My background. I made a living in the broadcast business, radio and television. When I was in high school, actually almost before that, probably in 8th grade, I developed a very strong interest in communications. And so through the rest of my high school years, I couldn't wait to get out of school. So in some ways, I relate to today's students. I mean, I'm not somebody that really loves school. I mean, I was interested in getting a job. I really wanted to get out and do what I really wanted to do. And the faster I could get there, the better. And so I went on to Brown Institute and was able to succeed in my goal. And I guess I feel very fortunate to be able to do that. I wound up owning a radio station. And from there, I came here. So I've had quite an interesting opportunity to do a lot of things that I never thought I would ever be able to do. I represent, I live in Otter Tail County. I represent a part of the state that has agriculture and recreation with over 1,000 lakes, a good agricultural base along with industrial base, and school districts that are strong. I've got Battle Lake, Perham, Frazee, Vergas, Pelican Rapids, Underwood, and Fergus Falls, and I share Rotse with Representative Marquardt. The town of Rotse is divided by a highway, and the school is on Marquardt's side of the road. And so we share that equally. And the small town of Rotse, I don't know what the population is offhand, but it's small, isn't it, Paul? Mm-hmm. They want to build a new school. And I give a lot of credit to those folks that live in that area, pretty much rural. The base, their property tax base is high. They've already made a commitment. But now they want to build a new school, and I think they might get that done. And most people would say, you shouldn't do that. But they see the future in education for that community. And so they have another, I think they have an election coming up soon to decide whether they go ahead and build, I think it's about a $20 million school. So this is a sideline. My wife was a special education para, so there's another connection. I served on the school board for 12 and a half years. Enjoyed every minute of it. I thought those years is back in the 80s up until 90. I was elected here in 96 and had to leave the school board. They wouldn't let me do both. But those were good years, I think. I don't regret the opportunity, and I think education, at least where I was at, seemed to be moving along at a pretty normal pace. Little problems, but nothing major. And so I hope that we can somehow stabilize things so we can get back to that. So being on a school board is not a bad thing. People want to do that because of it being a good experience. I need to brag just a bit. Do I have that opportunity?
Absolutely. You've earned it.
Again, I live in Fergus Falls, and the Fergus Falls Marching Band, for the second time, I might add, has been invited to the inaugural parade.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I had a granddaughter that went 4 years ago.
Yes.
And now this year I've got a grandson that's going. And the other thing that I guess I need to brag about is it took $6,000. $60,000 is the cost. Obama doesn't have any stash to pay for this. So the community has to come up with the money to send the kids. And the part that I'm really pleased about is that they raised $67,000. So we have money left over. So it's a really exciting thing. They leave the 17th. It'll be this week for that trip. And for kids to have that opportunity, that's very unique, especially when our district has been able to go twice. So it speaks well of the program and the community, and so we're proud of that. And in closing, well, I was going to just throw this in for good measure, because Representative Anderson talked about airplanes. I just built an airplane, by the way. It's a Cessna 170. You know, yeah. It's I wanted it to be green, so it's got a rubber band motor, and it'll be in my office sometime in the next couple of weeks. In education, I keep thinking, Otter Tail County was one of the last counties, I believe, to close their one-room schools. When I moved there in 1966, they still had some one-room schools operating, and in those days, they had one teacher. But the outcomes were very good, and that's the thing that I guess as we look at education, we have to think about what we did right in those days with very limited, one teacher, all those kids, but a lot of support from the parents and other things that probably made that work. And at noon or recess time, we'd go out and play with our jackknives, and after school, we'd go shoot some pheasants. You know, that's all changed, so, you know, we wish we could return to those times. But so I'm looking forward to being on your committee, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Curtis, and thank you for sharing concisely kind of the spirit of Minnesota's, what I think is the core of Minnesota's spirit in regards to the education of the next generation. It's a powerful spirit in our state.
Right.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Barrett, you and I spent the last 2 years sitting next to each other, and my ribs are still sore from all the elbowing that we experienced. So, yeah, welcome.
Thank you, Martin. mine as well. I'm Representative Bob Barrett. I serve the people of Chisago County, and like Chair Mariani said, this is my second time on the Education Reform Committee, and just for the record, I have the utmost respect for Chair Mariani, given the fact that we spent so much time together and got to know each other, privately, I guess, during committee, and so I look forward to this two-year period, and I think we'll do a lot of good things, especially under your leadership. And about me, I guess, in my private sector life, I work for a nonprofit organization. We're a drug and alcohol treatment center. We also have a graduate school of addiction studies and a publishing division, which is where I work. Some of the things we publish, though, relate, not all, but some relate to education. We publish a lot of violence prevention material. We also publish some alcohol and drug prevention material sold into K through 12 and also higher ed. So I've spent a lifetime looking at those kinds of issues and the impact that addiction and abuse have on adults, obviously, but also the kids that are under their care. 20 million people in our country are abusing or addicted to drugs, and certainly there's a lot of children that are affected directly by that. And so I'm aware of all the issues we have in schools that we need to understand and look out for. I'm also a student mentor, a longtime student mentor, and a basketball, baseball, and football official. So I've been around and trying to help and work with kids for a long, long time. Student mentoring is just, as you all know, getting to know some kids who might need a positive adult role model in their life. And so I think that's the key to education. In my mind, one of them anyway, is having a lot of positive adults who care tremendously about the success of the people that they are around and teaching or coaching or officiating, knowing that adults care and are there for them. I think in my life, I think that's been a help for me, and also also being an adult and trying to care for as many kids as I possibly can. I have the utmost respect for all teachers, specifically special ed teachers, as my wife is a special ed teacher and has been for a few years now. I know how challenging and both challenging and rewarding that job is. I think, you look for incremental improvement, and you really just celebrate that improvement when you see it. And for someone to do that every day, I think, is just a blessing, I think. So thank you for being that special ed teacher. And the schools in my district are North Branch, Chisago Lakes, and Forest Lake. To some extent, we have an elementary school in my district and the high school in and Representative Detmer's district. As I've told my kids since I think they've been born, we're all unique. We live differently, think differently, act, have different values, and so forth. And so the unique challenges of our districts is that we are one of the most lowest funded districts in the entire state. In fact, North Branch is on a 4-day school week they implemented about 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, to save a little bit of money so that they could teach their kids with less expense, which is kind of sad in a way. When you go from a 5-day week to a 4-day week and you're doing that to save money, that's a problem I think that needs to be fixed. However, having said that, they do a great job. I was on a patron tour a couple months ago, and spent about 4 hours in the school district. What a great job they do with the money they have. They just have a lot of caring adults, and they use their money wisely. They're inventing new ways to teach, and I think they're a model, really, North Branch especially, but also Chisago Lakes, for what good education should be in Minnesota. And so I really commend what they've done. So I'm here, I think, to help make good decisions for the kids of our state. We have all kinds of decisions to make, and we have to make good ones specifically for the kids. And ready for the challenge. I think it'll be a fun 2 years and a rewarding one, and I just thank you for the opportunity.
Look forward to it, Representative Barrett. Representative Leidinger, you and I served on a committee together last 2 years.
So yes, and I've heard
each other a little bit. So.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and through Representative Barrett, I've got a whole new insight on you.
Uh-oh.
So
told him all my secrets.
Well, thank you. My name is Ernie Leidiger, and I represent Western Carver County. Carver County is located just southwest of Minnetonka Lakes. It's farming area. The towns of Waconia, Watertown, Mayor, Cologne, Hamburg, Victoria. There are 8 education districts that kind of weave in and out of Carver County. And as far as I know, well, it's a growth area, so we're going to see more expansion, schools being built, and that I think will continue over the next couple of decades. About me, I served in the Navy for 23 years and then went into business. My mother was a teacher for 40 years, and she actually taught in one of those, you know, single schoolhouses all 8 grades. I served about 10 years sea duty on various different ships, and I've got a couple of stories I want to briefly talk about. When I was chief engineer on a couple of different ships, and every time we would look at the new recruits coming on in, we always would look and see where they came from. And I'll tell you, the very best kids really came from the Midwest. It was always really delightful to see a kid coming in from Minnesota or Wisconsin. They were truly the cream of the crop when you compared that to the rest of the nation. So there's a little story there. Second thing, I was getting a master's degree up in the Naval War College in 1989, and we were studying warfare in Central Europe. Well, what happened was, of course, the Berlin Wall comes down, and there's all our courseware out the window. So I guess the word there, the lesson learned is, schools need to be very flexible in producing a product that is going to be able to be used by society. And with that, it kind of brings me to some lessons that I have learned along the way. First of all, I think we're in an era now that we have to recognize that lifelong learning is certainly the mainstay for people today, and we need to ensure that the kids know that what they're learning in schools today is just just a scratch in the surface, that they're going to have to go deeper and they're going to have to have the tools to continue to learn. Second thing is keeping up with technology. As an engineer, it's very important that we expose children to as much technology as possible, and that means everybody. I realize that some children don't have that, you know, the wherewithal to go deeply into that direction, but everybody needs to be exposed. And lastly, I believe that somehow in our society today, and especially up here in Minnesota, kids are going to have to realize that they're going to have to work hard and very, very hard in order to stay competitive in this worldwide market of talent that there is. So I believe that is probably our most important function as the adults here is to ensure and impinge upon our kids that it's not an easy life, the future. We have to work hard, and we have to prepare ourselves to be competitive.
Thank you. I'm believing, as the father of a senior in high school, and watching his work ethic, and thinking, "Oh my God, if I had only worked half as hard as you, maybe I'd do something other than be a state legislator." No, no, but seriously, just watching young people nowadays, I hope that whatever policies we promote can encourage a very strong ethic in this regard. So, thank you for sharing that. Representative Benson, I can't imagine serving on an education committee without you on it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's always been a delight, and I appreciate the opportunity again. I'm John Benson. I represent 44B, which is basically the two cities of Minnetonka and Plymouth. My career also was in education. I spent 34 years all in one school district, Edina, and we have a staffer here whose mother was one of the greatest language arts and English teachers ever. Mrs. Fogelman was one of my mentors. Just a great, great person, so it's always wonderful to be here. My schools, I have three school districts, Hopkins, Minnetonka, and Wayzata, and they carry a certain burden because of how people view those school districts. People come to my communities principally for the schools. We're fortunate that we have a tax base which allows operating referenda to always pass. I don't believe Hopkins, Wayzata, or Minnetonka have ever failed in passing a referendum, and by large margins. And that's all well and good that they have that tax base and that public support. But I'm a state representative also, and this issue of relying on operating referenda more and more and more as a way for the state to try to help balance its budget is a major problem. And although my districts are dealing with that, as I say, I see this as a major issue that I'm hopeful that this committee and also the finance committee can start ameliorating. I think that's a major problem. When I hear of communities like North Branch that have to go on a four-day week, I consider that a failure on the part of the state legislature, a fundamental failure. And I'd like to do what I can to try to resolve that problem. People do think that at least the Wayzata school districts, if not Minnetonka, have not only running water but gold faucets in their bathrooms. I can tell you now that that is not true. It isn't the case. But when I mention that my school districts actually receive among the lowest districts as far as receiving school state aid, no one is very sympathetic about that, because we do rely on these operating referenda. But we have a number of issues in my districts. Although I taught in Edina schools for those 34 years, we have a number of issues relating to, for example, open enrollment. There's a real conflict going on among some of the western suburban districts about attracting students. Now, I happen to support the notion of open enrollment. I think that kind of competition is healthy, but it also leads to some unintended consequences as well. Many of you have read about the debate over Edina parents wishing to move into the Edina school district. There's a portion of the city of Edina that they send their children to the Hopkins districts. Hopkins has a lot of diversity, and I suspect many people aren't aware that that school district particularly has several dozen foreign language students, groups of students. A very large percentage of the school district is very diverse. And I think it might be interesting if we have an opportunity to visit with those folks, because they have achieved something that hardly any school district, I think, in the state has achieved, and that is they've basically closed their achievement gap. And how they've accomplished that, I think, would be very instructive for us to investigate. The issue of cross subsidies is huge. especially for Hopkins, but also for Minnetonka and Wayzata and for many other school districts, and I'm interested in seeing what we can do with that issue. There was a lot of discussion about paying back the school shift, but we also have to look at the base formula, which has not changed, really. If we factor in inflation, since I taught economics for many years, there is such a thing as inflation. And I think we need to look at the base formula as well. Over and above all that, I was interested in Representative Bly's comments about the teaching profession itself. And I, thinking of the debates we had last time around about LIFO and these other issues, on some of those I voted with you on alternative teacher certification, for example. On the LIFO bill, I demurred. And the reason was, it seems, as Representative Bly has mentioned, we haven't really spent much time in the legislature talking about the job of teaching or looking and really hard at why is it that we have such a large percentage of young people coming into the profession and then leaving within 3, 4, or 5 years, up to 50%. And I think for those of you who are business people here, if you had nearly 50% of your workforce leaving you within 3, 4, or 5 years, I think you'd begin to ask yourself, why is that? What's the problem here? Because all the studies indicate that if you can do one thing over and above funding or other issues, if you can attract and retain the best possible people to be in that classroom as a learning leader, you've achieved a dramatic improvement. But mostly we spend our time fee-fi-fo-fumming around here to find out, well, who are the bad ones and how can we get rid of them, rather than how can we maybe improve their skill set or reinvigorate them in the profession or attract people that we really need to have. I blame it all on the women's movement because for the first 150 years, bright young women had few options. They could be a nurse, a mother, or a teacher. Mm-hmm. They've left, and now the schools are stuck with too many people like me.
Yeah, us guys.
And so we really need, I think, to spend a lot of time on that issue. And
I think we will. So that's Mr. Benson, I'm going to move us along because
thank
we have
you,
three
I'm
other
done.
Members, but words of wisdom from a dear friend and a good legislator. Thank you. Representative Faust, welcome back.
Thank you very much, and I'm enthused to be in your committee again. I always enjoyed both education committees, so thank you for the opportunity. The districts that I represented are Braham, Mora, Pine City, Hinckley-Finlayson, East Central, which is Sandstone, Barnum, and Ascove, and also Willow River. I also have some students that attend Ogilvie, Moose Lake, and Rush City, so a lot of school districts. I think the largest one is Mora with about 1,800 students total. So, and what has gotten me interested in education is exactly what Representative Barrett talked about, how the schools in my district are consistently in the bottom 10% of the per student fundings across the state. But unlike Representative Benson's district, we are not able to pass referendums anymore because to raise $1,000 per student may cost us 10 or 20 times more for a $200,000 house that it costs in Representative Benson's district. And so that is a very significant and important issue to the schools and the children, especially the children of my district. And so that's what brings me here. So thank you very much.
Look forward to working with you again, Representative.
Yes.
And Representative Morgan, also welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Look forward to serving with you on your committee. I've served previously on the K-12 Finance Committee and have not had a chance to serve on the Policy Committee with you, and I look forward to it this time. And I'm Will Morgan. I represent Burnsville and part of Lakeville. I have three school districts, three of the largest, probably 20 school districts in the state, maybe top 15, Burnsville, Lakeville, and Rosemont, Eagan, Apple Valley. They all have their unique challenges, and their size, of course, gives students who attend those schools unique opportunities. As we move forward together, I hope working on ways to improve teaching and learning, and probably taking a good look at how we assess learning, I hope we will focus on what the research says, and also, as Representative Benson suggested, looking at unintended consequences, because there are unintended consequences of policies that are in place right now, and we should make sure that as we move to change some of those, we look at the unintended consequences of the policies we want to put in place to replace them. So thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm very excited to serve.
Forward to good words of wisdom, and particularly on the issue of unintended consequences, one should learn something about humility as a state legislator. It's a powerful tool to guide our work. Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm between the committee and lunch. Is that the lesson here?
You're in, baby. Up to you.
All right. Well, thank you for the opportunity to serve. I'm Jim Dabney. I represent all or parts of six neighborhoods in South Minneapolis. It's the state's most diverse school district. It's the school district with the top-ranked high school in the state, Southwest. It's the district with the only high school in the state that requires all students to take advanced placement classes, South High School, which is in my district. It also is a school district with some of the most challenged schools in the state. Parallel to that, we have some of the top functioning charter schools in the state, mm-hmm. a place like Hiawatha Leadership Academy, which is just outside of my legislative district, but in Minneapolis, top notch in dealing with a diverse student population, as well as some of the most challenged charter schools in the state. So I have two children who are thriving in the Minneapolis public schools, and I'm an active volunteer in the fall. They are in their school, but I also recognize a lot of the challenges that are there. Hope that we'll continue, I think, as you always have, taking a holistic view on the child and on education. Somewhere north of 15% of the students in my district qualify as homeless and highly mobile. That's not a function of their education. That's a function of issues outside of the education. But what we know from research is a homeless child is probably also 2 years behind in their educational attainment. How do we deal with that? How do we deal with the racial gaps in health outcomes that also have an impact? How do we deal with the racial gaps in employment that also then deals with family stability and opportunities for kids? We measure the academic, we measure the achievement gap in education, but we fail to measure it in a lot of these other places, and it's all an ugly intertwined knot. And I hope that we'll spend some time trying to unravel that knot in a way that focuses on the needs of kids and building opportunities for them. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I look forward to working with you again.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to very good work from this committee, and again, coordinating very tightly with our House Finance Committee. I want to very quickly introduce our staff, and so if they can just tell us who they are and what they do. I'm going to come back to staff at a future meeting just because they're your resources as well, but I'll start with Ms. Larson.
Mr. Chairman, members, I'm Lisa Larson. I work for House Research. I serve as the committee counsel, and I have worked for the House for almost 30 years.
A terrific resource. If you're not accessing her, do yourself a favor and do that. Our committee administrator.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm Peter Grafstrom. I previously served as a page and been working for Senator Klobuchar the last 2 years, but I'm here to work for all of you as well as the public.
And again, feel free, absolutely connect with Peter, particularly if you can't connect with me, especially in terms of scheduling up your bills or even getting some ideas about how to, you know, further fashion those bills. Our committee legislative assistant.
Hello, my name is Jamal Lundy. I'm the committee legislative assistant. I do a lot of the admin work for the committee. And previously, I've interned on the Hill and done a little lobbying work also. So.
And so if you don't, if you can't find me, he probably knows where I'm at, and he might even tell you. So one of our partisan staff can introduce themselves, research staff.
My name is Adil Shuni. I am DFL Caucus Research, and prior to here, I was a law clerk in Minneapolis for a judge.
Wonderful.
Mr. Chairman, Jody Withers, GOP Research. Thank you.
And a seasoned staffer here at the Minnesota House. Do we have any House staff, any of our information? Yes, I thought so, maybe. Yeah. You can tell us who you are very quickly. Wonderful. Anyone else?
There's Jason. Rep Eisner.
Wow. Just kind of waiting for him to jump up there, Jason.
Jason Keenly. I work in the revisor's office with education.
So you come up with an idea, and he finds all the right words so that it looks really good and powerful and concise. So in our committee page.
I'm Emily Edstrom. I'm your committee page. And I just spent a year in Brooklyn in a charter school over there, so I'm very, very interested to see what you all come up with for our school.
Really excited to have you here. Thank you. Members, in your packet, you'll see a statement of the committee chair's goals. We don't have time to go through it. But very quickly, if you could look at it, and perhaps when we come back in committee, you can share your thoughts on it. Basically, just sharing with you generally my approach in terms of a collaborative environment that we will build here, and my desire to have us focus on systemic dynamics as much as individual dynamics. You know, a big part of our job as policymakers is to reaffirm and develop a policy framework from which all good things come in terms of providing education to our students in Minnesota. And we actually have lots of components, as Ms. Larson would remind us, and at some future point I may just ask you to do that, in state statute, a plethora of directions and vision implied in state statute, where lots of good folks prior to us have really wrestled with some of the same issues. And I think it's our job to make sure that we knit those things together and make sure that they continue to be relevant and modern, matching up with the realities of our students and our communities. So members, when we come back together on Thursday, I'll share a little bit more with you all about how I intend to proceed over the course of the next few weeks. Thursday's meeting, we're going to hear from the Commissioner of Education, the Chancellor of our Minsky system, and the Commissioner of our Office of Higher Ed, who are working on what I think are very an exciting agenda of kind of a closer relevancy and knitting of K-12, particularly our high school grades, with post-secondary focus on career and college readiness and relevancy opportunities for our students. I think it can serve as a powerful motivator for us in terms of thinking of ourselves as carrying a big agenda in terms of defining what the vision is for our state. What is this all about? How do we continue to influence a K-12 policy and shape a K-12 policy framework in our state that's very relevant to the wonderful opportunities that our society has before us? So look forward to an exciting conversation on Thursday. And until then, members, have a good lunch.